This is the September 17 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Kirk Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, from Watseek, Illinois at First Choice Commodities. Merrill Crowley is here, and Wayne Nelson joins us from Newmarket, Indiana, and L&M Commodities. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may find and listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that on our website at willag.org or, of course, as a podcast in your favorite podcast application. Look for us in NPR One, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, even Google Podcast and Apple Podcast. Kirk Kimmel, this rally in the soybean market has just been on a tear for a very long time now, and how much is left?
Well, that's a great question. I've got a high priority email that said that specifically the market's going to stay firm until China quits buying. When China quits buying, I guess we're fixing to find out. But there's ideas they still have some purchases to book until probably into October. They gave us kind of a head fake, actually. They purchased some beans for that January-February shipment, and the trade got, well, maybe they're done because they don't need beans after February in the Northern Hemisphere. But the next sale was December, January, so they're still piecing that in. So the key is when they quit buying, that's probably when we're going to back off this market.
You have upside potential markets and technicians?
Yeah, short term in here, technically, this 1045, 1050, that's been an upside target. But a lot of the technicians are dialed into this 1075. There's a head and shoulders bottom, there's some retracements and so forth. But man, when beans get on a roll like this, and it's happened maybe three or four times over the last 40 years, you just don't know.
Merrill Crowley, he says you just don't know. Do you?
Demand markers are probably the hardest to get any handle on, especially when they're going to stop. Technically, in between the 1050, 1060, you have a ton of resistance there. That doesn't mean the market can't fire through that. We're also looking at if the funds move to a record from their current position, they'll probably add another $400 million to the roughly billion they've already bought. That would be another strong push to the market. Fundamentally, are our beans going to hold up? Now, I'm just getting a feel for it, and it's just a feel. When I look at some of the yields I get put past me, right now I just get a general feel that the beans are wanting to be a little bit stronger yield than the corn in relation to some of our better producing years. Sometimes you don't even want to put out projections because some of those projections tend out to be way too high, and I don't want to influence anybody to hold beans when we're in the profitable level that we are now.
Futures are one thing, but the farmer depends on the cash side, and that varies across the country. What are you seeing as we begin to make harvest progress in the South or the Delta region and starting here, actually, in our part of the world as well?
Well, down south in the Delta, the basis levels are unbelievable. They're 35 to 40 over for beans and corn right now, and it's tremendous levels. They're over $4, they're over $10. They're able to book 1044 beans, and I think that's something they need to be locking in and looking at greatly, because harvest basis levels at that are just unheard of. You know, we know this is a counter-seasonal rally. This is not the time to have one. And when you start thinking back to what generally happens, it doesn't work this year. And we're finding that out a lot. But I am seeing a lot of people finally, you know, decide and say, hey, we thought $9 was going to be the best we could maybe do this fall, and I'm seeing $10. You know, we had some guys that were buying some 1030 puts and paying less than 30 cents for them. I think that's a great idea. It left the top side open. But you know, the same thing, this is the same story, a different day. Funds buying and China buying, and that's what's keeping this market alive. Kurt said it all when he said his secret guy told him, when China quits buying or when they decide to back out of this market, we're going to see this basis fall apart. But we've got a tremendous, tremendous book on at the Gulf and also at the Northwest, and they're paying up. Do you realize that beans are $1.34 over at the Gulf? Corn's $1.31 over, but we're the highest priced corn and beans out there right now. But we are the grocery store that has stock on our shelf.
And Wayne makes a good point. We're starting to price ourselves out of competition. Zwicker was talking on closing comments about the seasonals, and there's if you can get your price over the August high, you tend to have something going, something serious. Now, again, we don't know when they're going to quit buying. China's going to quit buying, and that'll set us back. But we are over the August highs, so it could be opening the door for something much more than any of us think at this point.
So it is difficult for producers. I think, and you can tell me, they'll want to lean into this rally probably, but they also don't want to miss out on it. And I would like to hear how you view this and what farmers are telling you.
Everybody's different. It's a mixed bag. Right now they're going through the thought process, do I store or do I sell? We've been using the scale-up selling approach. We've been selling increments on the way up. But if you go back to $1.20 low from here, I said buy $9 puts for 10, 11, 12 cents. Those were totally wrong, but you lost 10 to 12 cents. The market's $1.20 higher, so it's time to reward the market and get caught up with some actual physical sales.
The comments from the producers that I've been getting are basically, do you know where I started selling soybeans? And just a month ago, it was like, are we ever going to get an opportunity? Because it's August 10th and August 12th is where we had the soybean and corn lows. It's profitable, and that's what I kept talking to. If it's profitable, you can go ahead and sell beans. If this rally is going to continue, look to next year. We got some pretty decent prices sitting on the board for next year. Take advantage of those. Do something. Spend your money to lock in some puts to save those. Because if China quits, if the government changes their political viewpoint, or Biden gets elected and he does something different, this whole thing could be gone. And you could be right back to where we were.
Well, as we look at this, Todd, I guess it depends on where they're at today before they do it. Even if they're at a very high rate, I think they sell another 10 to 20% above $10 here. I think that's just wise. This is a profit level. You know, if they have to average with some $9 beans, it's going to hurt a little bit, but it's going to get you up a whole lot better than you were. You got to remember, we're probably not going to see insurance pay like they thought it was going to pay us at this point in time. They're going to have to go back, and the government payments aren't going to be as good because this numbers are up to where they should be making some money. Everybody won't make as much because they probably marketed some already. But we're saying along the way now, we saw a lot of the advisory firms saying, you know, buy a put, sell a call, buy a put, sell a call. They are recommending now buy a put, don't sell the call, or going along the way. But I think that along the way that they're saying leave the upside open because we don't know. But we also don't know that China can't be done in 3 weeks. They say that they've got October and November booked, half of December booked for what they need. Are they going to go much past 1st of January with their bookings from us? Are their stocks from their typhoons and all the damage they've got? Is there increased livestock herd? Do they need more? They need more beans for bean meal? Do they need more corn for feeding? You know, right now it's COFCO, it's the state-owned agencies that are buying the grains. It's not the individual processors, and the TRQs are basically gone. Another question is, why is the USDA holding back at 7 million metric tons to China, and they've already booked 9 million metric tons to China? Are we just scared they're going to back away like they do in many times if the market goes down? Or are they just hanging back because they don't know what's going on?
Well, you got to be a believer. Our great leader, President Trump, told you clear back last winter, China's going to buy more than you can produce, go out and buy farm ground and new machinery. Nobody believed it, and it's happening.
We've got reports that are coming up at the end of the month. The grain stocks number is due. That one's a pretty good tally on soybeans because we just know the numbers. However, corn, because so much of it is fed, we don't really have a way to put the calendar year together so we know what came in and what went out. Are you thinking that potentially there could be a September surprise there?
I thought we'd have a June surprise because of low test rates. It wouldn't be there because we're feeding a lot more corn, or we're grinding a lot more corn. And as we move forward in through here, what we've seen going even today, it's backed off somewhat. We got super strong basis levels. So it tells me there's a short supply here in the eastern belt. Then when you saw the big windstorm, you know, the bins blown over, you know, whether that's logical or not, we see. But there's a feeling out there that the supply's not there. And so when you look at the feed usage and what's taking place in through here, there could be a surprise. These corn stocks could be lower than expected.
You mentioned the big wind or the derecho that took place in Iowa. Couple that, of course, with the really cold temperatures that ended the growing season in parts of the northwestern corn belt. And can you tally that up and in your mind to come up with an idea of what the corn crop might look like?
I think the corn crop depends on a couple of things. And I try the simple approach, and I'm looking more at where our conditions are. When you get below 62% good to excellent, as long as you stay 62% good to excellent and above, condition-wise, you end up having trend or larger. However, we're at 60. So that kind of tells you we may not have that trend yield. On the other side of the coin, and I'm going to give him credit, I didn't ask him for it, I should have, but Dale Gert Coates has been talking about ear weights. And I think he's got a really good point when he's talking about how these ear weights are not going to hold. We started out with this report having the ear weights right at 2018, I believe. And with the dryness, I'm kind of skeptical how we've seen any fill on that corn in order to push the corn crop higher. And I've seen about three different papers talk about corn yields below 178.5, which is our trend this year. Makes sense. So we could actually see the corn crop go smaller.
Michael Cordonnier is at 176, and he says steady to lower from here on in with the way things are. Michael's been awful good over the past few years when you take and consider him to how the government is at the end of the year, number one. The other thing, and I think I'll just go along with what said, how many bins do we see blown over in Iowa from the derecho? Lots. Do you know what kind of bins don't blow over? Ones that are full. The ones that are full don't blow over. Those are empty bins that blew over. So that's one thing. There's not as much corn out there stored as you think. Also, the corn that did spill or was out the ground, it's got cleaned up and it's out there and it's fed up. So it got moved in a hurry, whether it was shipped otherwise to export channels or not. It did go into the feed bins and the feed bunks. So that's one of the things. We are looking for a smaller stocks number. I think that they tell us, you know, our numbers are up. And if we look and carry into the same sort of feed usage we've had in the past, last year we saw a big reduction in the September report, and I think we'll see a reduction again. We got to remember, the typhoons have taken a lot of corn out of China in that one area where they produce a lot of corn, and maybe, just hopefully, our big corn crop might get ate up by Chinese pigs.
How long ago was the derecho? So I'm thinking about something here. That corn had to move somewhere, and it had to move quickly. Did we see that happen? I mean, did we see that happen, and did basis react at that point? And could what we be seeing now, the opposite impact of that, meaning it all got moved and it's gone somewhere else, and what we're seeing is just an aberration in the basis based on the derecho?
Well, I think, just like I said, I think the one that had to be moved from the bins that blew over and what was left in them or any destruction like that, it probably went to feedlots rather than into the export business, because you have stones, you have rocks, you've got other things in there when you pick that up. That generally goes so it can go over a screen and go into a feedlot, not into the commercial export business. That's what we found in anything when we ever had to clean up a busted bin anywhere or go out to a farmer's place where something happened. And I think that happened there. And that's why I'm saying I think the feed that was in those like that went into the feed yards out in Nebraska and Wyoming and Montana.
You got to go back, and I'm not saying there's misdoing here or anything, but oftentimes there has been situations where they rob new crop and fulfill for the old crop demand. And they got caught last year because of the late crop and being short somewhat. And I think there's some follow through here this year. There wasn't that old crop around. They were counting on this new crop coming in. And that the accounting of this, I don't know if it's very accurate. And does a commercial really reveal his true position? I'm not saying it might not be accurate. I'm saying it might be a little low if we get an accurate reading. And the reports you give the day of the USDA and the follow-up on those reports, Lance and those guys, they've done more wonders on transparency and trying to do it more right. And I appreciate that, them coming to the farming population and trying to make sure everybody's at ease with those numbers.
China has been an interesting conundrum to think about, especially as it's related to African swine fever, the rebuilding of their herd for hogs, the population there, what they might have in place for poultry, how much corn they really need, and they've been a buyer of corn from the United States.
Well, I think you have prices in Brazil that are running 4 to 440, I believe, is what I've read. So if you have those prices compared to the U.S. prices, and yes, Brazil has an advantage right now in their currency. we're seeing that advantage erode. Now, here just this last week, the U.S. dollar did find a low and has rallied back some. But the also in that same time, the Brazilian real has also rallied. And it's rallied a little bit more than the U.S. dollar has. That's going to help our value to China in regards to prices. They also had a little bit less corn crop. But with those prices, 4 to 424 versus our prices around 360, I think you're going to see more business come our way. The second thing is we are having some difficulties with our current crop here in the U.S. with quality. And I've heard this from three or four different sources, trying to buy corn from elevators and get quality to feed.
I do want to talk a little bit about ethanol as well. The tweet that the president made and some of the policies that have been put in place in this week. First, let's deal with the tweet. I think this is just a yes or a no. Does the president's move to put 15% ethanol based on state acceptance and a voluntary acceptance by the station into the 10% pumps, meaning every pump that you can get to, does that make any difference really to the ethanol and its not availability, but its demand? Does it make a difference to its demand? Yes or no?
Well, the answer to that is both, because at this point in time, no, because gasoline is cheaper without than ethanol is. So you're not going to put an extra 5% to make it cost more. Down the road, if we can get crude oil back up above ethanol prices, yes, it can help. Today, no.
You know, like Wayne says, down the road, $300 million is what they've going to give in money to offset the those processors that couldn't get the exemptions from the EPA. I basically think that's almost ruined the RIN program completely.
Yes, yes.
So yes on ethanol and yes on the RINs, no. On the RFS.
Yes to Wayne, yes to Merrill.
Oh, gotcha. All right, so what else do we have to talk about for the day?
Well, I think that it's very much going to be watching the yields. We're going to see a very, very, very big attention being paid to what actually comes out of Iowa after all of this mess. How many acres were actually totally destroyed and zeroed out? You know, and when we talk about an average yield, let's remember those yields, if they still harvest them and get 20%, that's going to drag the yield down. But we could have a higher yield coming in here and less harvested acres, because that can make a lot of difference what we're doing. But I think it's going to be, what does the farmer do? What does China do? And what does the economy do? I mean, I think all in all, it's a big deal in whether China stays around and whether the funds continue to have confidence in this market. Because it's same story, different day, funds buying, China buying. And when one or two of those quit, the other one's going to quit, and we're going to have two quitters, and that's going to make this thing drop. But we don't have to have that happen. We're counter-seasonal. Counter-seasonals will longer than we think they will, and it makes people like me, that old grain business people, wrong in a bull market in the fall.
China and the funds, both are very important in this case. How much confidence do you have in either?
Well, the funds... There's question what they were doing, but now they're back on the buy side. When the green line's above the red, they're buyers. When the red line's below the green line, they're sellers. But the funds are giving us an opportunity. When they're buyers, we love it. It gives us marketing opportunities. But two, you get China on top of this, and it just adds fuel to the fire, and that's what we're seeing. So the thing is, just don't sit around and see how high is, because when they turn on a dime, it could be kind of ugly to the downside.
Demand from China and the lesser supply from our production keyed the funds to start short covering, especially in corn. Now in beans, they're moving long. In the corn, up to this point last week, they basically did nothing but short covering except for about 13,600 contracts. Whenever you just have short covering, it leaves you vulnerable to those funds moving right back in and shorting the market again should China stop buying. So I think you're going to need to see more buying from the funds in the corn. And as long as China shows interest, I think you're going to see more buying from the funds in the corn. The beans will keep seeing buying. Like I said, we got another at least 400 million before they hit the record. And the final thing is that I think China is going to go to the least price. I don't think any of this buying has anything to do with phase one. I think they're going for the least price. And as long as our dollar stays and does narrows the gap between us and the real, I think that's going to keep us in the demand market.
Yeah, well, we've got the funds long, about 230,000 contracts of beans. And we've got the corn, 65,000 contracts right now. They have turned way around on those numbers. They've been long the beans for quite a while, but, you know, they're within probably about 40 or 50,000 contracts of where they got during the last drought. So along the way, I think it's clear back to 12. So we're getting up to the point where the funds are in a little bit, not they aren't overbought yet, but they're getting awful close to it. And when they try to exit that, but you know, when too many people run to the door when somebody else fire, it's a mess.
I'll ask two questions to wrap this up. One, early on, and I believe it was Wayne that mentioned at these levels, adding to whatever you've done already on bean sales, another 10% minimum probably is worthwhile. I kind of want to know whether everybody agrees with that. And secondly, next year, the corn-soy ratio is really leaning hard towards soybeans. Do you need to make any kind of sales, whether that's for new crop next year, 2021 crop, soybeans, or fertilizer coverage for corn?
Well, as far as next year goes, I think you got to start piecing into it. You know, new crop dees corn, 385, 390, these new crop beans, 975. That pencils out. Well, corn's still a little, not quite profitable, but the beans are. So I think from a management point of view, you got to start on that. I was not one to do 21, 22, and 23 30 days ago. But if you can lock that in, I think you've got to use some sound marketing practices to take advantage of that.
I think you want some protection for, like, say, 21, if we can get the corn prices another 20, 30 cents higher. As far as this year's crop, we are just now getting to the point where taking and selling it across the scale can bring you an income. So I guess in my point of view, I like being 50% sold on our beans, maybe even as high as 60. And I'm thinking that we go ahead and use the beans for income. When you look at the carry in the bean market, there basically is none. And you can buy July beans 8 cents more expensive than November. So if I want to buy those back, if I think I've sold too soon, I can easily buy that back without having to pay an exorbitant price like we had in carry, say, in 2018. But with the corn, we still have a little carry that we can take advantage of. And if we are lucky and we can continue to see the price go up, we can actually start selling across the scale at some profitable levels.
I agree with Merrill, everything he said about the carry and not carry like that. You've got to get them to sell this year's crop before you worry a whole lot about next year's crop. And I think that we have to scale into this. I think we use options. I think you use puts. I don't put calls on top of this for a little while. Let's see if we can run another 20, 30 cents. Then I might sell the call for the crop that I'm not going to price at harvest.
Let's get a final word from each of you. We'll start with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana.
Wow, we had a great couple weeks here. You know, we were all depressed, down, and COVID had got us down, but the grain market's got us down on top of that. We have had the nice rally here now. We're back to where farmers can make a little money. If we aren't in Iowa, we're sitting great. Our bean yields are coming in mid-60s to upper to mid-70s. Our corn crop looks tremendous in our area. I think it's just been a great 2 weeks.
Merrill Crowley of First Choice Commodities.
We are seeing a situation where they're talking about La Nina sticking around all through the winter and even into the summer. Now, it's not supposed to be a severe La Nina, but La Nina tends to affect your crops in South America. We're always seeing dry weather in Argentina, and we're looking at some dry weather in Brazil. So that, along with your currencies, could make us the big supplier on the world market, where we used to be back in the, 2016s and 17s. So that could return even without phase one.
And Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois.
I don't know if we're entering this super cycle where we just keep going and just not look back. But seriously, I don't want to talk politics, but I'm concerned going into the November election from the standpoint one side or the other side, but not having the results right away. And the way things are going, chaos. Chaos is not good. So take advantage of what we're seeing here. Do some price floors or something, because I don't know where we're going to be on November 3rd.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You may listen to the whole of our program anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Our thanks go to our panelists this week, including Wayne Nelson, Merrill Crowley, and Kurt Kimmel. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.